Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is time now for our City Matters program right here on K1, the one you trust. I'm Tom Davis, Mike Bailey. You brought in the team today.
I did. In fact, you couldn't get all the chairs in here for all of us, so you'll see this is not a peanut gallery. These are actually city staff. They're going to be part of the show today.
Highly trained city staff.
Yeah, they may be peanut gallery, too. It depends on how stupid I am. We'll see, Tom. We'll see.
All righty.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. What do we got going on here?
Well, you know, it's actually been a pretty adventurous last couple of weeks, and that's not always a good thing when you're in city government, but most of this was pretty good news. Had a city council meeting last week, and we had a very lengthy city council meeting, and I'll just hit the highlights of the things that I think the public will be interested in. For some reason, they're not interested in our contract for purchase of copiers and things like that, so we'll skim over the details, but one of the most interesting things, and I say interesting, for people who follow the city, you know that we lost Steve Knatzer, a longtime municipal judge. We lost Steve, I believe it was Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Steve passed. Terrible tragedy, good friend of ours, and we really miss him, but the court must go on. So we had a judge who stepped in the interim. I wanted to take a minute and thank him. That was Judge Gerken. He did a great job. Stepped in literally within days and was able to step in and keep us running. But the search for the permanent replacement drew out nine really good candidates. I was personally surprised. Of course, Steve's been here 40 years. We haven't done this, barely in my lifetime, but definitely not in my time at the city. So we didn't know how many people were going to be interested in this. We really didn't know a whole lot about it. But as we went through, we got nine great applicants. The council narrowed that down to five applicants who had previous municipal or judiciary experience. Council conducted interviews with all of those people. They, in order to avoid an open meetings violation, the council split into two groups of two and conducted interviews with everybody. And then met last Monday. And I believe I announced on the show previously, and we've discussed it, that Alan Gentius resigned off of the city council to pursue this position. So he resigned several weeks ago while he was in consideration. And on last Monday, the council actually appointed Vice Mayor Gentius is now Municipal Judge Gentius. So he switched titles and switched positions. He went from being my boss to my peer, and I'm okay with him in either place, to tell you the truth. He started last Thursday, so he's conducted one court. It seemed to go very smoothly. I talked to him Thursday night. He was ecstatic, actually. Good. I don't think I've ever seen anybody that happy to start a job like that. So he was really ecstatic, and I know that he will do an excellent job. Mm-hmm. Of course, that leaves two major holes in the city council. One of them is the vice mayor. He has served that position. Man, it's been a while, 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah,
I honestly
like
don't know. And he's done a great job there. But that meant that we did have to appoint a replacement for him. The council elected to appoint Jim Curd as vice mayor. And one of the cool things about Jim's story is that Jim had previously served on the council, went off for, a decade or so, maybe longer. And then came back on the city council, and originally when he was on it back in, I think it was the 90s maybe, he served on the council from 93 to 97, and now he is back on the council since 2016, and he's been reappointed as vice mayor, which is he served that on his original term. So we've come full circle. So I know that Jim Curd has done an excellent job as a council member, and he will do an excellent job as the vice mayor as well. So. But that also means that we have another hole. We have an opening in Ward 4. And so the city council essentially gets to appoint Alan Gentius' replacement for Ward 4. So if we have anybody who is interested in that, I would encourage them to call Elaine Baines to find out exactly what to do. But essentially, you're going to submit a cover letter and resume explaining why you're interested in this. This is open to all of the residents of Ward 4 who are registered voters and have been in the ward for 6 months or more. So this is a great opportunity for anybody who's looking to get into public service. If you're not sure what Ward 4 is, it essentially starts at the northwest corner of Adams and 75, and it is pretty much that northwest quadrant of town, but it does kind of dip down around the high school and Shawnee and stuff. So go to cityofbartlesville.org. There's ward maps out there. You can find out exactly what ward you're in. We've had some people contact us, and they were just across the street in a different ward. So it can be difficult to determine. But if you're interested, go take a look, see if you're eligible, and certainly submit over the next, I believe it's the, I can't remember the exact date. I'm sure it's printed in City Beat here.
I think it's till the 26th, isn't it?
Yes. Thank you. That's why we keep a newsman in here with us. I don't know what I'm talking about halftime, Tom.
Neither do I. I just remember the darndest things.
I'm an accountant. I can't remember numbers, so I don't know. But yes, so till the 26th, the council will likely appoint. It could be as early as the April meeting, but it's not a guarantee. They could wait until the May meeting. So anyway, that's an important thing we have going on. I have Laura here. She's going to talk more about this in a minute. But Laura is our HR director, and I'll give her the mic in just a minute, but I wanted to announce publicly, and perhaps I've already done it before, that Chief Banks, our fire chief, will be retiring July 1st, and Laura's going to talk about his replacement and all those things, and I'll leave that up to her. But
I have a question.
Sure.
I saw a picture of him when he first started. Was he 12?
We need to get that out of the internet.
The most youthful firefighter I've ever seen.
It is fantastic. I think they used to put him on their back and carry him up the ladder. It was. he might have been the... I'm sure he'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
Yes, no, he looked young. Young.
I got a text.
Trust me, he's listening, and I'll hear about it soon. But one of the other topics that I realize this is kind of resonated through the community is the announcement by ConocoPhillips that they were going to terminate their shuttle service and that they were going to terminate their operating agreement at the airport. Bartlesville is very unique, by the way. Most municipal as far as I know, other than us, all municipal airports are operated at risk to the city.
Mm-hmm.
We have been in an exceptional situation where we've had no risk, no financial risk. So they essentially paid to operate the airport, and we paid for capital improvements. And that was really it. It has been a fantastic arrangement for us. Obviously, they wanted to maintain the airport in a manner that was appropriate for their shuttle service as well. So it was important to them. But with the retirement of their shuttle, they've announced that as of August 16th, they'll no longer operate the airport. And so the natural question is, what does that mean for the Bartlesville Municipal Airport? And I want to reassure everybody, that is a municipal airport. I say it always has been. It always has been since Phillips Petroleum Company donated it to the city, which was way back in history. It was donated to the city, but the city has never actually run the airport. So it is a municipal asset that was essentially operated by a corporation for the benefit of the public. Great partnership, great relationship that we've had. We are grateful to them. The guy that called to give me the news that they were terminating that agreement, I believe my exact words were, well, that sucks, but I understand. I understand your decision and why you're having to do it, and we're grateful to you for everything that you've done over the years. And that still holds true, but we're not sure exactly what form the airport operation will take from this point forward, but there's a group of citizens and people who are very knowledgeable about airports that started meeting. We met last Friday, and we'll continue to. We'll come to some conclusion and get this stood up well before August 16th. So if you have an interest in the airport, understand that we're trying to determine exactly how to handle it. But I'm confident that ultimately we'll reach a decision that will be good for not only the general aviation in Bartlesville, but also the sort of the corporate aviation that's still going to use the airport. Just because the shuttle's not there doesn't mean there won't be corporate aviation.
Mm-hmm. Air taxi. Look it up. It's a good thing.
Air taxi. I like it. This is a...
They're doing this in Chicago, where they're actually taking people in these very small aircraft.
Yeah.
It's not a helicopter, but it's something kind of just on its own. And we can maybe work with some
absolutely.
Know, bigger airports in the area.
Yep, absolutely. I think those are sort of the unique ideas that we're looking at now. Again, we didn't really have to look to try to make the airport more efficient or for sources of revenue because, frankly,
it took care of itself.
There was, again, no financial risk in the city. So we have had a lot of those conversations about what are the things that we aren't doing now that we could be, and how do we maximize this? So, yeah, no, I think it's an exciting opportunity. It's a chance to step back and reexamine the airport and see, you know, what are the needs of the community and how do we ensure that the airport meets those. So it'll be quite a challenge. It seems like a long way out, but I promise you it will go very fast. So we're moving as quickly as we can to make those decisions. One other thing that we did last Monday was a refinancing of the water plant. And if this sounds familiar, it is. This is actually, I believe this will be the third refinancing of that water plant that we've done. And really the reason is because when you have a note that started out at over 40, and I believe it started out at $43.5 million is what that note was. Even a 0.5% change in the interest rates makes a substantial difference in the amount of interest that has to be paid by the citizens of Bartlett, or actually not so much the citizens, but the customers of the system. So that includes not only citizens of Bartlesville, but all of the regional water districts around us. So we have, this time, we refinanced it. I believe it went from 2.75% to 2%, and that's going to save $1.3 million over the term of the note. And it didn't change the term of the note. It still matures at the same time. So this was a no-brainer for us. This really was. It was one of the biggest items on the agenda, you know, to refinance a $27 million note. But if it seemed like the council didn't take it seriously, it was because it simply was an easy decision to make. And there'd been a lot of work going into the back end. So that was great news. That helps with all of the costs of the system going forward. Also frees us up if there are other projects that we need to do along the way, which, frankly, owning a water system, there's always projects that need to be done. There's always something. And talking of projects, we've actually got some lane closures on Frank Phillips Boulevard, and this is related to a waterline project that's ongoing. So this will be the eastbound lanes on Frank Phillips Boulevard near Highway 75. We expect that those will be closed for about a month, and that's to facilitate the replacement of a waterline in that area. And one other project that we've got coming up that I know I'm excited about, and I think everybody this is a project that's been on the books for over 5 years, is Hillcrest Road. And the Hillcrest Road project, this is a much needed project. This will expand that road. It will provide for a separate bicycle path on that road. And in addition to, we're going to build adjacent to the existing road. So the good news is we'll be able to keep two-way traffic open for most of the project. The only time that we will actually have to have any sort of closures or traffic direction will be as we're tying in at the north end and the south end. So this will essentially run from the Caney River Bridge, and this road doesn't run north, south, or east, west. It actually runs southeast to northwest. It goes at an angle through there, but on the south end where it's at the Caney, just north of the Caney River Bridge, we'll tie in, and then we'll tie in, I believe it's just north of 20th Street as well. All that'll be tied in. So in those areas, as we begin to tie into the existing road, there will probably be some lane closures throughout, but this will be a big project. It'll take some time. I believe we have slotted between 9 and 12 months to get that completely done. But a lot of work left to be done on that, but for anybody who uses the road on a regular basis, it should be an exciting project for them. And before I turn this over to Laura, who's going to be next, just one quick announcement. I know it seems strange. We just had ice last week, but we're preparing for our yard debris. So if you are ready to scalp your yard or still got leaves left over, that will be May 3rd through 7th. So it's never too early to start thinking about that. Got about a month.
Back up the lumber truck to our house. We took care of the trees before the tornadoes get to them.
That's
4-foot lengths, baby.
That's true.
Bundle tied neatly.
I gotta say, you're not alone. You're not alone in having a lot of limbs, but not everybody cuts theirs to 4-foot lengths and bundles and ties them. So make sure you
do that.
That's
what it said.
That's
to
right.
Do.
That's right. Make sure so you can use regular.
I don't want Keith waking me up in the middle of the night. Hey!
He'll just leave it there. He'll leave you a note.
Sorry.
So So, yes, exactly. Limbs, 4-foot lengths, bundled and tied, no greater than 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of your yard debris, if you'll just leave it next to your can, not too close to your can, give us some space. But any bag, no stickers necessary during this. So that's your normal pickup day, May 3rd through 7th. We'll be coming around and we'll take all you got. Mm-hmm. And there'll be a bunch of it. We'll have. And one other thing to remember, if the normal trash truck comes by and they don't pick up your yard debris, it's okay. We'll be sending another truck around later that day because it's going to be full just of regular stuff. So.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Believe me, folks, they will do that.
Yeah.
You'll get a little bit of a panic attack.
That's right.
About 40 minutes later.
you got the great wall of yard debris out there.
Oh, yeah.
We'll come back and get it. Don't worry.
They will.
All right. Well, I'm fortunate enough, as we've said, and if you're watching on Facebook, as you can see, we've got a room full of city folk to talk about some things today. And I have Laura Sanders here, who is our HR director. And Laura, how long have you been our HR director?
Since January 19, I think, of 19.
January of 19.
Yeah.
So, and ironically, Laura is replacing Shelly McGill, who's standing in the corner. You can't see her, but you will in a minute.
And
Shelly is our former HR director, who actually moved over to be the museum and library director. So we keep them in house and rotate them around. We don't want anybody to get tired of what they're doing. So there's lots of opportunities. But all right, with that, Laura, I know you're going to talk a little bit about Chief Banks' retirement and our search for his replacement.
Yes. So as Mike said, Chief Banks will be leaving us June 30th after 42 years of service. And so I do want to take a moment to thank him for his service, because 42 years is a long time to work anywhere.
Pretty incredible.
But especially in public safety. And so we thank him for his dedication and his loyalty to the city of Bartlesville and the citizens. And we wish him all the best in his retirement. But with that leaves us a vacancy that we need to fill, and it's a critical vacancy. So we looked at what we did in 2018 for our police chief position, and we're going to take a similar approach. So we have contracted with Strategic Government Resources, or SGR, to assist us with posting the position. So they'll advertise it, and this is what they do, is advertise these sort of positions. So they've got a large net, so to speak, and so we expect that we'll get a competitive applicant pool with that posting, and then they'll also help to streamline the process by helping us to narrow the applicant pool down until we get to the in-person interviews. And so once we get to the in-person interviews, they will also help to vet the candidates. And we have actually posted the position already. It was posted as of Friday. So if anybody's interested in the position, they can go to thecityofbartlesville.org, and there's a jobs tab that they can click on. And we've got a brochure out there that'll talk about what the job entails and what the compensation and benefits looks like. And then it'll also tell them how they can apply for the position. So that will be open for 30 days. So I believe that's April 4th that closes. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out to the HR department. We're always available to answer questions and assist with whatever anybody needs assistance with.
Yeah. And we really were happy with this process last time. We did use the same company, the same process for the hiring of chief roles. Laura, how many applicants did we have? Was it 32?
32, I believe, is what we ended up with.
And yeah. Of those, 28 were actually qualified applicants. You invariably get somebody who's a fry cook and said, hey, that looks like a cool job, I want to do it. And no experience. And so, normally we actually get a lot higher number of unqualified applicants.
Right.
So I'd say this was it really did work well to have 28 applicants for a high-level position like that. And honestly, we had a hard time narrowing it down. I think we carried more applicants through. It progresses. I believe there was a written was the first.
The
they
questionnaire,
had a written
yep.
questionnaire,
yep.
And then you eliminate some after that. And then they actually do a video
interview
online. And I was speaking to Tracy Rolls. He said, that was just amazing. And there was a high degree of sarcasm in his voice.
oh, no. Please tell me that didn't occur.
You're sitting in front of your computer, and it just comes up and asks you a question. And then you have to answer it. And you have a timer, I think, 5 minutes.
Yep.
And, of course, we only saw it from this side because they're looking into a webcam. But apparently it was awkward, but from our perspective, it really was invaluable. It allowed us to narrow that down even farther before we got into in person. And I think we ended up, and we interviewed eight or six
something
at
like
the
that.
End. Somewhere
six,
between six
yeah.
and eight people at the end. And about half were internal and half were external candidates. So we really, we were excited. It was a great process. And I look forward to it again. I don't look forward to Johnny Ray Banks, as Ed Gordon used to always call him. I don't look forward to him being gone, but I do look forward to the opportunity. There's always opportunity when you have things like this, and I'm kind of excited to progress through it. All right, Laura, do you
thank
have anything
you.
Else for us on that?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you joining
you.
Us. And I'm sorry to kick you out of the booth, but they didn't have stadium seating for everybody. So we're gonna.
You know how it goes, Mike.
I do. I don't think you all anticipate me bringing half of my staff, but it's more fun this way, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
It certainly is.
And to keep you guessing is always worth it.
So the look on my face.
Yeah, that's right. We just kept coming in, didn't we? It was like clown cars. We came in here. So I'm going to start with Shelley. This is her staff here, and Shelley had some projects to talk about at the library, and then we're going to talk about the Bartlesville History Museum, some of the cool stuff that they've got coming up, and I won't give it away, so I'll let them do it.
Thank you, Mike. I just wanted to announce the events we had for spring break next week, as the kids are out of school and they've been home a lot, but we wanted to give you guys something to do with the kids. So for the younger kids, we're having what's called a crafternoon at Unity Square. It'll be on Monday the 15th, and it'll run from 12:30 to 2:30. And what we have is just a bunch of things for the kids to do, maybe some make and takes. They're going to have outdoor games. It's the first day for the food truck, so we're hoping it can be just a great couple hours for you to bring the kids and get something for them to do for the week. Then for the older kids on Friday that week on the 19th from 6:30 to 8:30, we're going to have the kids again at Unity Square, and we're going to have a teen karaoke and improv night. So they're welcome to come and bring their own tunes, and we can play them through the karaoke machine and they can sing, or we're doing original poetry or monologues or anything they'd like to do. We've had several of these, and they've been very popular with the teens. And so we're hoping that we can give you guys something to do with the kids for spring break. And that's all I really wanted to talk about today. I wanted to turn it over to my museum staff. We're having a new event that is really cool this year, and it's the first time we've ever done something like this. It's called Search the Ville. And I'm going to turn it over to Betty Keim and Delaney Chidester, and they're going to tell you about the event.
Thank you very much. We are excited about having the Search the Ville, and it is a scavenger hunt. So Joe Todd was the one that kind of brought the idea to us, and he donated the prize money, as well as he took a bunch of the pictures, and
that's
I took
great.
Pictures too. So, and he's been a long time helper with the museum.
Yeah.
And
Joe's always been a good friend of the museum.
He's wonderful. But anyway, so what we'll do is we have 25 pictures, and they are of the community, basically the downtown, but there's also some outskirts, and there's one that's a little bit further out, but think historical buildings. And so it's going to be fun for the parents to have their kids go out with them and try and find these different building, just little pieces of it. So, they'll have
very
to really
cool.
look carefully
yeah.
at the different things. And so we're going to be giving prizes for the 17 and below. They will be able to have a prize of $50, and then there will also be a prize for the adults. We'll pick one. And I'll let Delaney go ahead and tell a little bit about that.
Yes, this is going to be so much fun. I've been looking at those pictures this morning, getting them all ready to post, and they are so cool. You got to look high, you got to look low. It's going to be so much
great
fun.
It really is a great idea. We have a lot of unique architecture in Bartlesville, so it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. So all of the pictures are going to be posted on a Facebook event page. You can find that on the Bartlesville Area History Museum's Facebook page. And at 9 a.m. on March 10th, all 25 of those images are going to be uploaded,
cool.
followed shortly by a Google form. So you'll take those pictures around, look on your phone, look around at all the buildings. We actually saw some of the ones on the way here to the studio, so it's going to be a blast. And then on the 30th at 3 p.m., the contest is going to close. And shortly thereafter, we're going to draw some winners out of the correct answers. And then that will actually be announced on the April edition of the Monthly Live. So
that will be very cool. This is now, how exactly did this idea come about, ladies?
Well, actually, Joe Todd was the one that came up with the idea that to do a scavenger hunt. And so we kind of got it all together, and we want this to be something that we'll do different kinds of searches. Search the Ville for a lot of different types of things. So throughout the years, we're going to come up with different places for them to be able to do and different types of things. So it's going to be fun, and we also want to make sure that the children are safe. So please make sure that parents or someone, you know, of authority is able to go with the children if they are doing it. And we'd like it to be, you know, like elementary age to fill out, you know, to have the forms. So the parents can help typing the forms in. But, you know, a one-year-old probably is not going to be able to figure those things out. So, and like I say, we'll have... we'll pick of the, you know, the ones that have all 25 right, we'll pick one person from each category to win that $50. And like I say, it'll be announced on Be Monthly, so that will be great.
Yeah, it really will be. And it's another sort of a great partnership that we have with Be Monthly. And you mentioned Joe Todd. Of course, Joe's been a friend of the History Museum for, well, longer than I've been in city government, so
I'm
very, very grateful to Joe, and I'm grateful to you all. This is a great way to sort of engage the community and an age group that might not be all that aware of the History Museum, other than what group of, there's a grade that they actually bring through the History Museum.
Third grade.
So.
And last year with the COVID and everything, some of the kids did not get a chance to come through. And right now the one-room schoolhouse is closed because of COVID.
Right.
But I will be working with the third grade teachers and go, you know, do Zoom activities, and we'll have to see once April and May comes around what we do about that.
What we're able to do. So.
Yeah. But I can at least go into the schools and be able to do presentations and everything. So.
Well, and for anybody who's not familiar with the History Museum, want to spend a few minutes and tell them where we are and what we have in case somebody who's not familiar with it?
Okay. We are a hidden treasure because we're
agreed.
At 401 Johnstone. We're on the fifth floor. And people just don't realize that we are a museum. They say, oh, that's the City Hall. And we do have the sign that says, you know, museum there, but, you know, they just don't realize it is a treasure. I mean, for the size of our community, we have a wonderful museum. You know, we've been able to, you know, with the help of different people from the community that, you know, and we have so much wonderful, you know, architecture that it will be fun for the people to be able to see some of those things and pick it out.
So. Yeah, Bartlesville is renowned for its architecture, of course. We have several, I think we have maybe 6 to 10 houses that were designed by Bruce Goff. Mm. Unfortunately, we lost the most famous one, which was Shin and Khan. But you all did an exhibit on some of the remaining artifacts from that, so that was it. It's preserved a little bit.
And right now we have the Frank Griggs exhibit up.
Oh,
we
excellent.
We just started it in March, and it's fantastic.
So Frank Griggs was a famous photographer in Bartlesville, Oklahoma,
yes.
And we got his collection upon his death,
right,
I believe.
Right, he took several hundred thousand, and we have at least over 100,000 of his photos. And they're in our Past Perfect program. So if, you know, someone wants to find out about, you know, a certain thing, then we can go ahead and look it up on our Past Perfect program. You know, find out about, you know, different family members or certain buildings and things like that.
But. So the museum, if you're doing research, you all are a great resource. You're willing to work with the public, and of course you can come visit, and it's free. A donation is requested, but the museum is free to anybody who would like to come visit. And as you said, fifth floor, you know, it's which is 5 floors above where you pay your utility bill. That's how you know it. Some people, that's the only way they know it. You pay your water bill on the first floor, and you can go on up. That's right. Your hours are a little different than ours. But
from 8:30 to 12, and then from 1 to 3:30.
Okay. Yep.
All right. I want to thank everybody for coming in today. A very informative, very fun program here with City Matters. All take care and be well, and we'll see you very, very soon.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Take care, one and all.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.